Good morning. It's good to be alive, isn't it? And it's good to be saved. To walk in the consciousness of the Lord's presence, of His keeping power and sustaining grace. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Our topic for these morning hours is the whole armor of God. When we Christians go out into this hard, cold, callous, sin-sick world every day, we need to be clothed upon with the armor of God so that we will be able to stand as good soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ. We noted yesterday in considering this armor that we need to have our loins girt about with truth. We need to have on this belt, this girdle of truth to strengthen our loins. We are to be strengthened in the truth. I was telling some last night, and others of you have heard me say this in years gone by, that I used to engrave printing plates. I was a hand engraver for a number of years. Since I was not able to get the formal education that I desired, I realized that I needed to learn a good trade. So I spent 5 years serving an apprenticeship in the engraving business, engraving printing plates. It has been my understanding that the treasury men in Washington do not spend time, very little time, in examining bogus bills. They really can't spend their time doing this because there are so many. Rather, they spend all of their time knowing the genuine. They get to know the genuine so well that they now have a standard by which to judge any false bills when they come along. Now, if we don't know the truth, we're going to be tossed to and fro like chaff in the wind or like grass in the wind. We need to know the truth. We need to be saturated with the truth that we might be able to stand against the lies of the devil. And so we need to be strengthened in the truth. The Lord Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. The word is truth." And we see the example of the Lord Jesus in combating Satan as the Lord was tempted by Satan. Each time, you will remember, the Lord Jesus used the scriptures. It is written. And we need to know the truth of God, not just to have certain facts, but to saturate ourselves with the truth of God so that we might be able to stand faithfully for our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we see also in verse 14, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Here again, we think of the Apostle Paul as he is thinking about these Roman soldiers, particularly there on the battlefield as they're combating the enemy. Paul visualizes these Roman soldiers getting into hand-to-hand conflict with the enemy. I think this is indicated in verse 12. As he brings this over into the spiritual realm and applies it to us Christians, saying, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So Paul visualizes the Roman soldier there on the battlefield, and he realizes that the Roman government puts all at the disposal of this soldier and every soldier to give him protection, but not only so, that he might be able to overcome the enemy. And Paul realizes that the vital organs of this soldier and every soldier need to be protected. And so Paul, bringing this over to the armor of God, thinking of us Christians fighting this spiritual warfare, he impresses upon us that we need our vital organs protected. We need to have our hearts protected. We need to have on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the heart is thought of and spoken of as the seat of emotions, the seat of affection. You know, we think of and I understand that people down through the years thought that the actual muscle in the body was that controlling center. It certainly manifests or reflects emotions, doesn't it? When a person is filled with fear, the blood vessels, the capillaries retract, and there's not the flow of blood that there should be, and a person turns white with fear. Or a person might become angry, and the flow of the blood is accelerated, and the face turns red. And so the heart is spoken of as the controlling center of emotions and so on. And the heart is set forth in Scripture as a place where we deport ourselves in relation to God. We know it's not the actual muscle, but it speaks of the inner man. But the heart is spoken of in Scripture as being that controlling center. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Romans 10 and 10. Where your treasure is, said the Lord, there will your heart be also. Proverbs 23, 26. Son, give me thine heart. We speak of the heart as the controlling center of the individual. And we speak of our wife or girlfriend, whatever it might be, as sweetheart. Not sweethead, but sweetheart. Give me your heart. And we just had Valentine's Day, and this thought of giving the heart expresses our thinking that when we give our heart or when we receive someone's heart, we give and receive the entire person. Now, this is the thought in Scripture. And what is Paul saying in this? He is saying, Christian, protect your heart. Because from your heart are the issues of life. Now, there is no better protection for the heart than for believers to walk in righteousness. Look at that word in verse 14. Righteousness. It means upright. Rightness. Now, this is a reference not only to imputed righteousness, but that righteousness, that practical righteousness that is a result of imputed righteousness. Back in Isaiah, you need not turn to it, back in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, but we all are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have driven us or taken us away. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, said the prophet Isaiah. When we go to the book of Romans chapter 3, the apostle Paul is quoting from Psalm 14 when he says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous. There's none that doeth good. There is none righteous, no, not one. When we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 1, we read there of the commandments of the Lord concerning the day-by-day activities and judgments in the lives of the Jewish people. God said in Deuteronomy 25 and verse 1, that when the people were brought before the judges for judgment, he said the wicked shall be condemned, but the righteous shall be justified. The wicked shall be condemned, and the righteous shall be justified. We're made to realize when we come to the book of Romans that there is none righteous, no, not one. What hope is there for us? Well, we see in 2 Corinthians 5:21, is it? For he, God, hath made him Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Lord Jesus Christ was made to be sin. That is, he was constituted as a sin offering for us, that we might be constituted as righteous in God's sight. Though the word says there is none righteous, and the wicked shall be condemned, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, therefore we are condemned, and every mouth is stopped before God, what hope is there for us? Receiving Christ as our Savior, we have the very righteousness of God imputed to us. So we are declared righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is positional righteousness. We are declared righteous before God in Christ. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and so we have peace. And the righteous are justified, and because we have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, we are declared justified before God. So that there is no charge brought against us whatsoever, as we see in Colossians chapter 1, God sees us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. My, that's good enough to want to make you say amen. We're justified. Because we are declared righteous. That is imputed righteousness. But now wait a minute. We read in Colossians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 rather, that Christ is made unto us righteousness. Let me ask this question. Where is our positional righteousness, or I should say, who is our positional righteousness up there? Well, you know the answer. You say the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Who is our practical righteousness down here? The same answer, isn't it? That's the reason we're told in Romans 13 and 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know as well as I do, we're being told today that there is no truth. Everything is relative. There are no absolutes. I heard one fellow ask the other fellow, said, do you believe that there are no absolutes? He said, absolutely. But we are being told this nonsense today. And we are left with consciousnesses without content and strivings without standards. And we see it coming increasingly, don't we? Did you ever hear of the story about the man who paused in front of the jewelry store every morning? And he looked at the timepiece there in the window, and he adjusted his watch to the timepiece in the window. Did this every morning. One day, the man who owned the jewelry store happened to be out front at the time when he came by and did that. And the owner said to the man, he said, listen, if you don't mind me asking, I've noticed every morning you stop and adjust your watch to my timepiece. He said, why do you do that every morning? Well, he said, I work over at the factory. And he said, one of my responsibilities is to blow the whistle, indicating the time, the correct time. And so every morning I adjust my watch to your timepiece so I can blow that whistle. Well, the store owner said, well, I adjust my timepiece when I hear that whistle. And there are some who say theology matters little. And I've heard it said, as you have. Don't give us doctrine. Give us something practical. Listen, we need to be saturated with the truth. We need to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God who makes Christ real in us, so this practical righteousness will be worked out from our day-by-day living. If we're not strengthened in the truth, we are going to be tossed to and fro. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Listen, fellow believer, we are to make sure that our hearts are protected. We need to start each day making sure that we are right with God. Now, you know, in our day-by-day activities, in our relationships with other people, there are times we have conflicts. We need to have a forgiving attitude. We need to be loving. We need to be Christ-like. And this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And if other people with whom we have to do don't respond to our forgiving attitude, our loving attitude, then we have to let that be their problem. We have to be sure that we are right in our hearts. Now, we are told that this breastplate was actually made of two pieces of metal, joined together by leather thongs or straps in some way, and it actually protected the front and the back. I've heard it said that there was no protection listed here for the back because we're not supposed to be running away. Well, this breastplate really did give protection for the back, we're told by those who at least know more about it than I do, that it gave them protection front and back, but it protected their vital organs. And we are to have on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we need the imputed righteousness, and this is ours when we're saved, but this practical righteousness is a result of this imputed righteousness. But as we go forth into each day, let us be sure that we are right with God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. Faithful to whom? He's faithful to His Son, who accomplished our eternal redemption at Calvary. God the Father is faithful to His Son to forgive us when we confess, because He's there as our great high priest, ever living to make intercession for us, to keep us saved. He is pleading and praying for us. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. And let us be sure that our hearts are right as we go forth into each day. Because if our hearts are not right, Satan will get the advantage of us so that we will fold up rather than stand up for Christ. Let us protect our hearts and let us be right as we go forth into each day. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How does the old spiritual go? I've got shoes. You've got shoes. All of God's children got shoes. Well, thank God, He gives us provision for our feet. There are different kinds of shoes. The list is so long, no need to mention any of them. But there are different kinds of shoes. Paul is thinking about this soldier there on the battlefield, and he thinks about what the Roman government provides for him so that he can stand and not fall as he faces the enemy. We are told that these sandals that the Roman soldiers wore were heavy-duty sandals. And they would have had, especially when they went into battle, they would have had these sandals on that had hobnails on the bottom of these sandals, so the soldier would have sure footing. Now, as we read and study the scriptures, we realize that we as Christians have a solid foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, upon this rock, not speaking of Peter, a little stone, but upon this rock, a massive rock, speaking of himself, upon this rock I will build my church. Peter knew that the Lord wasn't speaking of Peter when he said upon this rock. He wrote in his first epistle that we are living stones. We're living stones. That is, as Christians, we have the rock nature of the Lord Jesus himself. But we are living stones situated upon the solid rock foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're built upon, in Ephesians chapter 2, the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We're built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the solid foundation upon which we are situated. Now, I emphasize this because this has to do with our standing as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people, when reading about the feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, think in terms of us going about spreading the gospel message. How beautiful are the feet of them that proclaim glad tidings. And people think of this verse speaking of us Christians going about with the shoes of the gospel of peace proclaiming the gospel. Well, we are to proclaim the gospel. We are to witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes we become so tactful we don't attack. But we are to witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't believe verse 15 is talking about us spreading the gospel. I don't believe that is what that verse is speaking of. Now, Paul is emphasizing the fact that we are to stand as we face these temptations, as we face these onslaughts of the devil. He emphasizes that we are to stand faithfully and we're to stand firmly for our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I'm asked, well, what is the difference between temptation and testing? James speaks of this in his epistle chapter 1, when James says, now when you fall into divers temptations, count it all joy. And then later in that book he says, now when you're tempted, don't go blaming God, because God doesn't tempt anyone with evil. And you read that, and right on the surface of it you say, well, wait a minute, this sounds like double talk to me. God tests us to bring out the good. Satan tempts us to bring out the bad. I'm not a farmer. I'm a city boy all the way, okay? the Lord Jesus said to Peter, is this in Luke 21:22? Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, ordinarily, in most instances, when you sift something, you retain the bad. Is that correct? You retain the bad. In Luke 3:17, Scripture speaks about the Lord having a fan in his hand, and he winnoweth. Now, the Lord has a fan, Satan has a sieve. The Lord winnows, he drives away the bad, because he wants to bring out the good. Satan tempts us to bring out the bad, and we need protection. You know that. I know that. And we need to stand against the onslaughts of Satan, and we need secure footing to do that. Now, we're on the solid rock foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have what we read of in verse 14. We can be strengthened with the truth, and we can have on the breastplate of righteousness, and we can rejoice in the fact that we are at peace with God, but if we don't have the peace of God governing our lives day by day, our feet will well nigh slip. You understand what I'm saying? The psalmist in Psalm 73, you remember, he got his eyes off the Lord, and he looked around, and he thought about all the people that were his contemporaries, these people that moved about him. And he said, now I've trusted the Lord, I've committed my way to the Lord, and I'm plagued day and night. And look at all of these other people. They couldn't care less about God. They speak lightly of God. They speak critically of God. How doth God know? They say. And is there knowledge in the Most High? They don't seem to be plagued. But now I want to do what's right. I want to honor the Lord. And it seems I'm plagued day and night. And he said, my feet well nigh slipped. He said, this was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. Then understood I therein. He did a little prophetic study too, didn't he? Then understood I therein. No, I don't believe verse 15 is speaking of us walking in the shoes of peace, going about proclaiming the gospel. Rather, I believe that verse is emphasizing to us that we are to stand fast and firmly in the peace which the gospel message brings. They went about preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And though we are in this crazy, mixed-up world, though we are in this world that's coming unglued, the peace of God keeps our hearts and minds. And we're to stand right there in that peace. That's more easily said than done, isn't it? Not that we are indifferent. Not that we don't care about things that are going on and the things that we see increasingly coming upon our nation and the world. It's not that we don't care or indifferent. But in the midst of this crazy, mixed up world, we know who's in control of it all. And we as Christians know that we are at peace with God, and the peace of God keeps our hearts and minds. And we do live in a crazy, mixed up world where there are no standards. It was like the man back some years ago was walking with this, a sandwich board. And on the front of the board, his message was, stop the war in Vietnam. And on the back of the board, he had legalized abortion. Now, that's the kind of world we live in, doesn't it? People don't know where they stand. Roy Putton tells about the drunk who called the operator to send a cab and pick him up. And the operator said, "Sir, where are you?" And he looked out and he said, "I'm at the corner of walk and don't walk." That's the kind of world we live in. Roy Putnam also told about the soldier in Vietnam who was receiving nagging letters from his wife back home. And he finally wrote to her, and I'm quoting, and he said, "Stop sending me those nagging letters and let me enjoy this war in peace." I believe that is the message right here. As Christians, we are on the battlefield. And if the peace of God doesn't keep our hearts and minds, our feet are going to slip. Because it's too much for us. We don't understand all this. And we can't let what we don't know shake our confidence in what we do know. What was the song back during the war years? I believe the Andrews sisters sang it. You've got to accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative. And don't mess with Mr. In Between. You're looking at me like you don't remember that. How many remember that song? Okay, all right. I thought I was all alone up here. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And Satan wants to disturb our peace. He wants to disturb our peace. But we are to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let us be strengthened in the truth of God. Let us have our hearts protected as we know we are right with God and we want to be right with other people. If they don't want to be right with us, then we have to just leave that with them and pray for them and have a loving attitude nonetheless. But let's guard our own hearts and let's stand right there in the peace which the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ brings. And let the peace of God rule in our hearts so that we might stand faithfully for our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's plenty to think about as we go into this another day, isn't it? I trust we will not only think about it, but we will be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God and have the attitude, "Lord, let this be real with me. I want to walk in your consciousness today. I want to equate all that I am and all that I do to you. I want to be a good testimony for you today. I don't want to yield my body, these members, unto unrighteousness. I want there to be the fruits of righteousness in my life," we read in Philippians 1:11. "I want to yield these members to righteousness for thy honor and glory. And I'm going to stand right here in the peace of God." Now others might say all kinds of things. Things might come and go. Things might be shaken all about me. But I want to stand in the peace of God right here as I fight this fight. May it be so. For his name's sake. Lord, we thank thee for our time here today. We thank thee for the privilege of being here and enjoying this Christian fellowship. We do think of all the family members that are represented here. Perhaps there are many unsaved loved ones represented in our company. And no doubt there are many family members facing real problems, maybe some even here facing real problems that others know nothing about. We pray, O God, that we will take the whole armor of God. We will appropriate our Lord Jesus Christ in a very practical way today and every day. And though we don't understand so many aspects of life, though we don't understand all of these obstacles and these difficulties and these problems that are allowed to come our way, We know that thou doest all things well. And as we run this obstacle course, we are to look off to our Lord Jesus Christ and run with patience the race that is set before us. And in facing all of these things that would seek to disturb our peace, we pray that we will stand in the shoes of peace for our Lord Jesus Christ. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen. Have a good day.